Good morning, Ottawa Church of Christ. I am super excited to be here. Tony's introduction of myself precedes me for sure. A lot of what he said was not true. You know, the real reason actually, he called me in June. He said, "Bryce, I don't want to do ministry anymore. I need a 17-year-old to come take over in Ottawa." And so that's exactly what I'm here for. No, but honestly, I'm super just delighted to be here. You know, obviously, if you couldn't tell, we announced in the beginning, but we have a campus-led service today. We saw a lot of young people. I want to give a round of applause for just the people sharing, just hearing Jordan and Alex and the welcome of the bells. Just really inspiring, really encouraging to see these friends and relationships I have built and seeing them come to fruition or just seeing their hearts for God. You know, Jordan is getting baptized today. That is just, you know, we've said it three times, but we need to say it more and more. That's such an exciting time just to see this change that Jordan is having in his life. I'm sure his parents are elated. The people in our family, I'm so excited for you, Jordan. Really, this just past couple weeks, I've been spending time with him, getting time. You know, as he was saying before ICMC, we were in the studies, but I didn't know him very well. After ICMC last week, so I got back from ICMC, I had COVID. I was dying. Thank you to Andrea, by the way. She was giving me food. I was home alone. Oh my gosh, I did not miss my parents the whole time. When I was sick and by myself, I was crying genuinely for my parents. I was like, oh, my mom, I need my mom. And Andrea was able to help me, so I really appreciated that. Tony and Melanie were out. They were on vacation, so that was cool. I really appreciated that. A little bit about who I am. Obviously, Tony had given an introduction. My parents, Mark and Ruth, they were in Toronto. My dad is from Vancouver originally, and then moved to do ministry in Toronto, downtown with Tony and Melanie. My mother was born in the Philippines, and at 16, she moved to Toronto, and then was baptized at 18, and they got married in 2000. I was born in 2007, you know, just dated myself, I guess reverse dated myself since I'm really young, but just growing up in a Christian household, I was always very just blessed, honestly. My parents, their parenting style, and my brothers, they've just done a great job with raising us up. Both of my brothers, this 20 and 22, Jaden and Ethan, they are both faithful. Ethan's been a disciple now for 8 years, and Jaden has been a disciple for 2 years. And just seeing what my parents have done and bringing me to this moment has been just such an impactful thing for me. I was baptized quite young. I was baptized at 13. And just my journey at that time, of course, had a lot of ups and downs. I was baptized during COVID. So this was, you know, we were inside. It was very hard for me, a lot of challenges in this moment. In freshman year, eighth grade, I had a girlfriend. Did not go very well. I'm single now. And afterwards, kind of trying to look to fill that hole of what's going on in my heart, I turned towards sports. I played volleyball. To be honest, I was pretty good at it, is what I could say. And I played for 2 years on a team. I played for 3 years in total. And in this time, my last year, I was a captain of my team. I got a couple awards. We won a couple tournaments. We went to Nationals, which was in June. We got second place, and I was awarded All-American there. Things happen. I'm getting offers. I'm talking to these people. And then at a camp, we have a church camp every summer. And at this church camp where, you know, there's different themes. We're there for a week. There's no phones. And I'm there with about 150, 100 other people. And I'm realizing the theme there was refuge and about how refuge should be in God. And I realized that for 3 years, I'd been wasting my time putting my refuge in these other things. And so just seeing that, saying, okay, like, hey, there's a lot of complications with volleyball. This is something I have to give up. And so I stopped playing volleyball and just putting the foot on the gas this last year, just being in a lot of opportunities that God has given me to be in ministry or to help out, I would say. In the team ministry back home, we have about 17 teens there. We have around just under 10 teen disciples. It's been just such an encouragement time, just getting time to share here and there or speak here and there. And time to study with a couple people. They got baptized back home. It's just been an encouraging time. And then here, I'm in Ottawa. I've been loving it here. The people are amazing. The family that you guys have developed here is such an encouraging and inspiring thing for me to be here. I really love being with the campus, Nick and Danam, and all the young guys and women here. Being with the teens, with Carson and Elijah and all the other guys there. It's been really for you guys. This, as Tony said, is my last time here with you guys. I am very sad to leave. It did go by very quickly, but I'm definitely glad for the experience. So today, if you looked online on the Instagram page, you might have seen the title already of what I'm going to be talking about. But the title of my lesson today, are you ready for it, is prayer, or how to pray. I didn't want an extravagant title or anything amazing because we all wanted just to notice the importance and the power of prayer. You know, Martin Luther, a famous reformist of the Protestant movement, says that to be a Christian without prayer is to be alive without breathing. That we should recognize and see the power and the importance that prayer should hold in our lives as Christians or people wanting to see and pursue a relationship with God. My goal for us this morning is that we can aspire to become a people of prayer. That we can become people who pray constantly. That maybe you're in a different spot and that's totally okay. That if you've never prayed before, that you would open your heart to Jesus and say, God, I want to pray and build a relationship with you for the first time. That if you pray sporadically, you know, every so often, that you would start to pray consistently. And that if you pray consistently already, that you would pray constantly. One of the greatest things about prayer in our lives is we know that God is going to do what he's going to do. Jordan had shared about God's glory, and he knows the dimensions of the universe and the boundaries of the galaxies and all these things. Yet what's so amazing about our God is that he gives us this opportunity to play a role in his sovereign plans.
That's right.
That sometimes actually what God will do is he will wait to do something until we've prayed about it.
Right.
Or he will keep allowing something to happen until we've prayed about it. That we have this opportunity to play a role in God's sovereign plans. Now, I think there's a couple reasons why we struggle with our prayer lives or don't emphasize prayer enough. I think in my walk, it's still something I'm learning to be radical in. I think the first reason is, of course, we feel like God has not answered our prayers. You know, we feel that he's saying no or just not listening to us. When I was, this is a couple years ago, or maybe a year or two ago, I was talking to my father. And we have a lot of theoretical conversations or theological conversations. We talk a lot. We get time together. And we're talking, and I say, Father, I wish you were harder on me when I was younger. Now, if you're a parent, that sounds crazy, right? I'm not a parent yet. Hopefully not soon. And I'm thinking in this moment, Dad, if you were just harder on me or more focused and disciplined with me, I could have been better. I could have been a pro athlete, or I could have been just a better student or a better worker in the future. But I lacked the perspective that my father had. That if he was harder on me, it might have changed our relationship and my walk with God and the things that are on now. I lacked that perspective. And I think in my relationship with God, what has been stretching my faith in moments is that in challenges and in circumstances and in situations, that if I was God and I could see everything besides this moment, because all I can see is this moment of what's going on right now, that if I was God, I wouldn't change a thing. That I would leave things the way they are, and understanding that God's plan is better than mine. I think another reason we don't feel close to God is we have this lack of intimacy that comes from lack of communication. We just don't feel close with God. We don't understand prayer or how to pray. And so as I look as how to pray, you know, we're going to look towards the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer. This is one of the most famous sermon of all time, the greatest sermon of all time. Psychiatrists and psychologists say that every mental health helping is a footnote of the Sermon on the Mount. That a lot of the teaching that Jesus teaches with the authority he had was the greatest sermon to ever be given. He gives us this manual of prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn there together. And he gives us this prayer that we all have probably heard of, or at least I've mentioned. It's in movies. It's just such a famous prayer. I'll read it right here. Starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "This then is how you should pray." Some translations say, "Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I'm sure we've heard this before. If you haven't, it's okay. We'll go through it today. We're going to break it down and kind of the takeaways that I've had as I've been studying this out and looking through this the past couple of weeks. There's four key takeaways I want us to hopefully come away with after today. Number one, pray with understanding. Number two, pray expectantly. Number three, pray with humility. And number four, pray dependently. Let's break it down. Number one, pray with understanding. Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Know who you're talking to when you pray. You know, it's so interesting that in the Old Testament, which takes up around 2/3 of our Bible, God is never once mentioned as a father. Yet, Jesus calls God Father 195 times. Jesus is trying to let us know that God is a personal God. That God is our Father. He is this figure in our lives. He's not just this person who's far away, but he is a personal God. Matthew chapter 11 says that, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" The next line says, "In heaven, our Father in heaven." We have a Father, we have a heavenly Father. And this heavenly Father that we have is a perfect Father. You know, I think that a challenge for some of us, for me, my actual father, Mark Kang, you know, I'm so blessed to have my dad. He's such a great figure. He's out in the ministry in Detroit. He has just been such an influential role in my life, and our relationship has been great. But that's not the same for everyone. You know, some of us here today might have strained relationships with our fathers. Our fathers might have been neglecting to us or abused us or absent. But I call us today and invite you guys to see that that's not who our Father in heaven is. That he is perfect, and that we should be open to building a relationship with this Father who is a perfect Father. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You know, the word hallowed in Greek, the old Greek, means holy. And holy means to be set apart. That our God is holy, that he is different from us. And Jesus balances this crazy balance of, we have someone who is our Father and is personal, yet who is hallowed and his name is holy, and he is in heaven. That, because the Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light, yet we should boldly approach the throne of grace. That he is this ultimate and all-powerful and mighty person, yet he's also a personal God who wants a relationship with you. That we see that our understanding of God should be that God is our Father, and that we should come to know and build and desire a relationship with him, yet also revering him, that he is in heaven, that he is holy, that he is not like us, and he is not of this earth. Number two, we should pray expectantly. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." You know, what's interesting is that our view of God will determine your response to God. What do I mean? If you think of God, as I mentioned earlier, as this figure in the sky, or this box in the sky, or this person that's far away, or we can't understand, your response to God, you might not expect God to do things in your life, or you might not understand what he wants for you. But if you understand that God is a good and perfect king, you will want him to rule and reign in your life. You know, beginning of the school year, as I said, after camp, I was on fire for God. And I'm coming back to school, and it's mid-September school. We're getting into school. And I'm thinking of the ministry of, how can we be more radical in the team ministry here in Detroit? You know, we had about 14 guy disciples at the time. We had one girl disciple. We had two girls studying. We had one guy studying and a friend that I was bringing out. And I'm thinking, okay, what can we do? What can we do to be more faithful? And so I call a buddy of mine who's in the ministry. His name is Jake, good friend of mine. I say, "Hey, Jake, you know, I've been thinking about the things going on in the ministry and how we can impact the ministry. I really want us to just take steps further." And he asks Bryce, "Okay, what can we do?" And I say, "Jake, let's just start praying. And for this month of October, let's start praying. But let's not just pray. Let's pray every day. Let's be organized. Let's pray every day. Let's not just pray every day. Let's pray in the morning and in the night. And in those morning and the night, Jake, let's pray an hour for a morning and an hour in the night every day. And let's pray an hour in the morning and an hour in the night. And let's pray all throughout the day if things are going on. Jake, let's check up with each other if these things are happening. And what's going on? How's your pride going? How are you feeling with your heart and with anger? How are these things going? Let's just pray. Let's pray for the ministry. Let's pray for the people studying. Let's pray for our friends, our families, all these things." And so we start praying. We start praying. And every day we're thinking, we're checking up. "Hey, did you pray today? Hey, did you pray today?" We're praying. And we're waiting for we're surrendered to God, just going to work. He is going to work in our lives. So October ends, we get to November, nothing much happens, things are still going, no baptisms. December, the guy and the girl that were studying, their siblings, they got baptized on the same day. God is working, let's keep just being in it. January comes, the other girl gets baptized as well. We keep praying. February, no baptisms. March, we get to March 27th, Conwin is his name. is the buddy that I reached out to back in September at the beginning of the school year. I remember reaching out to him, and literally the only reason we were friends, we made a joke every time we saw each other, hey, we're friends because we're both Asian. That was our reason, that we are both friends because of this. And so, so I reach out to this guy, he comes out, he's not super interested. Now, Khan had grown up with a much harder life than I had. Khan's parents had grown up with a nasty divorce. His mother had committed adultery. And he grew up not knowing God or resenting God. He grew up Buddhist, and then after that was atheist and didn't believe in God. He had two sisters. One of them he didn't even live with anymore because his sister lives with his mom and he lived with his dad, so he never saw her. He grew up being neglected by his father as well, and feeling this void of being loved in his life. And I reached out to this guy, and at first he didn't want to study. He was just there. He's being polite. He's a pretty smart kid. And things go on. In January, he starts studying, and things are going on. Our guys, let's pray for this guy. Let's pray. Please, God, just pray for Khan, guys. I'm texting all the guys. I'm telling my father, telling these people, guys, let's fast for this guy. We're doing all these things. March 27th, Khan got baptized. And it was this moment that was just, it just makes me emotional that we had poured so much time to us, and God was faithful to us. And we understood that God is faithful, but we also need to be surrendered to God.
That's right.
So then the question becomes, how do you know if you're surrendered to God? The next question I would ask is, do you pray for God to bless what you're doing, or do you pray to God if this is what you should be doing? I think a lot of the times, at least in my life, I've struggled with trying to fit spiritual things into non-spiritual things, or sprinkle on spirituality into things that I've already decided on. When I was around 10, I was at a friend's house, and we were in the basement for his birthday. And his mother walks in the basement and says, all right, guys, you can have as much fun as you want. It's a low ceiling. Don't break the chandelier here. And, you know, I think you can know where this is going or tell where this is kind of going. And, you know, as the night goes on, I have this great idea. Guys, let's have a pillow fight. And the guy, his name is Titus, is the son. He says, all right, Bryce, just be careful. It's like, I will. And then the first thing, I just shattered the chandelier. Pieces go everywhere. Everyone's just, no one's saying a word. They're not sure. We're not sure what to do. We hear his mother walking down the steps. She's like, oh, we're finished. And so, you know, and the reason that it broke or we didn't care for it is because I didn't value the chandelier. In our walk with God, sometimes we think to God that, oh, God, I don't know if you value things the way I do. God, I don't know if you value my relationship the way that I do, so I don't want to surrender it to you. God, I don't know if you value my job the way I do. I don't know if you value my money the way I do, my family, my relationships the way that I do. And God said, are you serious? I made relationships. I gave you that job. I gave you that money, that family that you have, that you love. And you are here to say to me that I'm not, that you're not surrendered to me, and that it is not all mine to begin with. If we understand the need to be surrendered to God and that God is a good king, we would want God and expect God to reign and rule in our lives. Number three, pray with humility. Bible says, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. We'll go back to that. Verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. You know, God calls us to forgive. This humility that we should have. When I was, a lot of stories here. Sorry, big story guy. This is probably 2 years ago. I was in the summer with my brother Jaden. And he wasn't a disciple yet. No, actually he was. He was. We were both disciples, which makes the story a little crazier. But we were, you know, he was over, our buddy was over, and we were playing basketball. Now for context, you know, as you can see, I'm like 5'6". I'm not very tall. About 2 years ago, I was like 125 pounds, so I was very skinny. And my brother was 6 foot, 200 pounds. And we're playing basketball, and he's beating me. It's actually somewhat close. And he had been, his friend had been over for 3-4 days. My brother, you know, if you're a younger brother or a younger sibling, you know that the older sibling's role is just to mess with you as much as they can. Yeah. You know, it's to push you around to, oh, I'm better than you at this and at this and at this. And you know how it goes. And I'm playing basketball with my brother, and he's just chirping. He is talking so much to me. And I was so mad already because I'm thinking of what's been happening. And eventually he says something, I don't remember what. And I just explode on this guy. And I just, I'm yelling at this guy. I'm swearing at this guy. I'm like, you're this and you're so and all these things. I'm yelling. And then he gets mad. He didn't even understand why I was mad, which made no sense. And he starts yelling at me, saying, you're this and you're this and you're this. We didn't talk for 2 months after that. You know, we were living in the same house. We never talked. And our relationship was normally okay, but it was this disruption that happened to our relationship because of sin. That this sin had disrupted our intimacy. When we sin, prayer is a way to retain intimacy with God. That we can come before God and say, God, I don't deserve it, but forgive me of my sins, of what I've done and the things in my life. Another thing it does is that prayer does is it keeps health in the family. Like my family, my brother, also in the church family. Jesus says, as we also forgive our debtors. You know, that we have this idea or this expectation or notion that, hey, God will forgive us, but it's also an expectation that we forgive others around us. Yes. You know, our lack of forgiveness at times, when we hold on to that resentment or that pain, it could be an indication of pride, that we deserve to be forgiven by God, but the people around us don't deserve to be forgiven by us. So I ask us to pray with humility and understand that we don't deserve to have our sins forgiven. Lastly, we should learn to pray dependently. Back to verse 11, it says, give us today our daily bread. And verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think from my limited perspective, maybe you guys relate, that we think that we should have everything in control, right? That in our mindset that all that we should do should be in our hands. What God will do is he will lead us intentionally into places that we cannot control to see our need to depend on God. Colossians 1:17 says, Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So it is actually not by our perspective, but by Jesus. That if Jesus tells us, God, give us today our daily bread and forgive us of our debts and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's important to note that Jesus says, give us our daily bread. Not our weekly or our monthly or yearly or semi-annually, but that we need God every day. Yes. That day after day after day after day after day, we should call to God, God, provide for me today. Give us our daily bread. The second part that says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The word for temptation there is also the same word for testing. It says in the Bible that God cannot be tempted. But God, what he'll do, he'll put us in times of testing where we can have the opportunity to either grow closer to God or stumble, of course, and be in sin. And what Jesus asks us to do is pray that God, please don't lead me into temptation or to times of testing. But if you do, I know that you will deliver me through it anyways. That's right. That I can trust in you and rely on you and see that you will provide for me despite the situation that I am in. As I close out, again, I want to just re-mention that we need to become a people of prayer. Yes. I want us to be radical in our prayers, that we can expect God to work in our lives. That, again, if you've never prayed before, that you would open your heart and mind to Jesus. Amen. And say, God, I want to accept you in my life, and I want to build a relationship with you. That, God, your name is holy, and God, that your kingdom should come. God, if you pray sporadically, that if you start to pray consistently and understanding and expecting God to work in your life. Yeah. You ask God to, God, forgive us of our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. That if you pray consistently, that it's not just a checklist thing, but you pray constantly all throughout the day and all the time. And you build this connection with God and you ask God, God, give us our daily bread. That we want to build this relationship with God. Amen. That God is a personal being. He wants a connection with each and every single one of us. That praying is not just, it's actually the before, and it says, when you pray, do not speak many words like the pagans do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Right. Tony's actually told me basically this, just paraphrase, because I speak a lot when I pray. And I say that to say, praying is, in essence, is just a relationship with the Father. That we are speaking to God Almighty, and yet someone who wants a relationship with us. So as I close out in prayer, I hope that you guys just take away that we need to become a people of prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, God, you are so awesome. You are so merciful and loving to us. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, the opportunities that you've given us, all the things that you've blessed us with, all the times you've forgiven us. God, we are thankful. God, I pray that you help us to come before you and build a relationship with you in prayer, that we can depend on you, that we can see the need to have a relationship with you, that we can seek you out in all times, that we can be radical in our faith, that we can learn to love the way that you want us to love, that we can learn the way to pray that you ask us to pray. Amen. I pray, God, that you bless the ministry here. God, help the fellowship and just the relationships that are here to continue to grow and to get closer with one another. God, that the church is a family, that we should have connections with each other and seeing that we cannot do it on our own. I thank you for everything that you've done today. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the gift of your Son and the sacrifice that he has given us. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you are the advocate for us when we are in sin. I thank you for everything and all that you do. I thank you for this day. I thank you for keeping us from the rain. In Jesus' name, amen.